and welcome to the program. Today we do message number 3 concerning the pastor and the people in this age of apostasy. The Bible is very plain about the last days and says that perilous times will come. Perilous times means hard to do times. We're looking at the position of the pastor and the position of the people in our churches in this age of apostasy. What is the pastor to do when the people are compromising and they won't listen to the messages? What are the people to do when the pastor is compromising and going astray? Well, the Bible makes it very plain that we're living in those days when these things are going to happen, and they're happening today. What we need to be very careful of is to honestly pray concerning these situations. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whate'er seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Power, teach me thy love. Teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest. Leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through Savior nigh. Teach me to live.
We're reading in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, says that now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now I have a message, and I'll just quote some of these verses here, entitled When God Sums It Up, and sums is spelled S-O-M-E-S. In 1 and 2 Timothy, we read, some were teaching false doctrine, some turned aside unto vain jangling, some made shipwreck, some departed from the faith, some turned after Satan, some sinned openly and some sinned secretly, some coveted after money, some erred concerning the faith, some had their faith overthrown, and some were vessels to dishonor. And thankfully, out of all that list, we read some were vessels to honor. So one out of 12 made it here. We're living in that kind of an age today. If you drop me a note and an email, I'll send you that list and give you the scriptures where those are found in 1 and 2 Timothy. Well, what are we supposed to do here when all of these people are departing from the faith? What is the pastor to do when the people are departing? What is the people to do when the pastor is departing? Well, first of all, we need to face the facts and face the futures. The Bible says it's going to happen. In the last days, the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We need to face the facts, and we need to face the future. Now, in this series, we're going to be looking at the messenger, we're going to look at the message, and we're going to look at the method in what we should be doing in this age in which we are living. The messenger is simply the person who brings the message to someone, and in the situation that we're looking at concerning our local churches, that man is called the pastor. The message is an official spoken or written formal communication that is written for someone, and this, of course, is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2, we are to preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the Word. Some people preach from the Word. They preach, give you a verse, and then go about as far from it as you can get. Preach the Word. So we need to look at the messenger, the message, and the method is a particular form of procedure for accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. How are we supposed to do this? Now, we looked at the seven pastors. The pastors in the book of Revelation is the person who brings a message to someone. And in the book of concerning the pastor in the church at Ephesus, he had left his first love. Concerning the pastor at the church of Smyrna, God had no rebuke for him. In Thyatira, the pastor was accused of allowing Jezebel to seduce the saints. In Sardis, God said they appear like they're alive, but they're dead, and referring to the pastor. And in Philadelphia, the pastor there had no rebuke. And in Laodicea, the pastor is rebuked because... And so, while they were going through the motions, Jesus is standing out knocking at the door. They don't want him in there. He's going to mess up things the way they're doing things. Well, we're looking at the messenger, the person who brings the message. That's the pastor. But what about the message, and what about the method in which we are to do things? We're going to look in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus to see what the Bible has to say about that. Now, we need to understand concerning the things that are written in the Bible. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These things are not written here just so we could get a head knowledge of what went on 2,000 years ago. It happened unto them, but they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, what Timothy was commanded to do here, and as a pastor in that church, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, Paul said, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, that's number one on the list. First thing he says here is they cannot, you just can't let them preach some other doctrine. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God under another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, we've mentioned before that word accursed is translated from the Greek, and it means to be exposed. In Jude chapter 1, verse number 3, Jude wrote and said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, it talks about the common salvation. That word common is koinos. It is in Mark chapter 7 and verse 2 translated defiled. In Romans 14, verse 14, it is translated unclean three times. And in Hebrews 10 and 28, it is translated unholy thing. And so Jude is writing here about the defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation that was being presented there. And he said, you need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Today we have an unholy, unclean, defiled plan of salvation that says you do not have to repent in order to go to heaven. Well, Jesus said, you did. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jude said, I command you, you need to earnestly contend for the faith. And in doing that, we need to expose those who are promoting the false doctrine. The Bible says in John 7, verse 24, and Jesus said it, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. What are we to be doing in this age of apostasy? We are to be exposing error. 1 John 4, 1 said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Romans 16, 17, Paul said, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. Titus 1, 13, we read, Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Ephesians 5, 11 says, Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 says, Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye have received of us. That means we should be withdrawing ourselves from anybody who's teaching this damnable heresy that says you don't have to repent in order to be saved. Should we be naming them? Well, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed, and he was teaching some false things here. And it says here, I said unto Peter before them all. Paul exposed Peter, his good friend, before everybody. 2 Timothy 4:10 says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He named him. 1 Timothy 1:18 to 20, Some have put away concerning the faith and made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He named them, Alexander and Hymenaeus. 2 Timothy 2:15, we read Hymenaeus and Philetus, have erred concerning the truth. He named them. 2 Timothy 4:14 and 15, he talks about Alexander the coppersmith, did me much evil. He named him. In 3 John chapter 1, verse number 9, John, the man who's noted for love, named Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them. 2 Peter 2:15, Peter exposed the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Jude chapter 1 and verse 1, Jude exposed the error of Balaam. Revelation 2:14, John exposed the doctrine of Balaam. And so, as we've said, 1 and 2 Timothy have to do with instructions for the pastor. He is the messenger. What is he to do? He's to face the facts. That's what he's to do. Face the facts and face the future. His message, he is to preach the truth. He is to expose error. And he is to expose the apostates by name. Well, we'll look at 2 Timothy in our next program. Chapter 1 says, this think. Chapter 2 says, this be. Chapter 3 says, this know. And chapter 4 says, this do. Well, as we face the facts and as we face the future, whether it be from the perspective of the pastor or the perspective of the people, what we need to do is simply just keep on trusting the Lord.
I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never so just keep trusting your Lord as you walk along. Just keep on trusting your Lord, and He'll give a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, keep right on trusting your Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. You can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, just keep on trusting your Lord. He will never.